Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of Screen Champs. I'm your host, Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Moan.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? Yeah, I got a little confused there. I was like, man, what episode is this? So, pretty sure we're on number 9. Sounds right to me.
There we go.
Yeah. So, today is a special episode because it's a year-end episode, and we're going to do our top 10 movies of 2020. So, top 10 lists are probably one of my favorite things to do as far as specifically movies. It's something I've done for maybe the past 5 or 6 years, looking at what's come out in the year. You always try and catch the movies you haven't seen that you know you thought you might like, so you make sure to watch those real quick, and I just enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I feel like this year especially, I enjoy it a whole lot more because you know theaters are shut down. And you know, it's kind of made some memorable experiences watching these movies. And then it's, you know, it's kind of good to reflect back and kind of see what you saw in March and, you know, in June. There were some movies I had to rewatch again because I just felt like, you know, like it's been so long, but it's, you know, it's always good to reflect back, man. It's always good to remember, be nostalgic a little bit.
Sure. Hey, yeah, I'm all for reflection. You know, it's one of those years where a lot of the movies were accessible, and then at the same time, a lot of the movies were impossible to find because, you know, what goes on normally in the real world is movies release at, like, film festivals. Mm-hmm. Critics will get screeners. So there's a bunch of these movies that were released at a festival or screeners got sent out, and then they never actually released to the public. So we have all these movies that are in people's top 10s, best movie of the year, this and that, and they never actually got released to us. So it kind of feels a little elitist when you see things like that in people's, you know, top 10s, but it is what it is. You know, shout out to the film critics. Good for them.
There we go. I was going to say, how much money do you think you saved because theaters are closed?
Yeah, probably. You know, it depends who you're talking to. Me, not too much. I probably ended up spending more because, you know, usually I have better access to these movies when they're in theaters than I do when there's a streaming service involved.
I feel like I always, like, just, you know, treat myself and spend, like, $20 at the Arclight for, like, my movie. And
okay.
Spend, like, another $30 on, like, a beer and, like, some Twizzlers and popcorn.
Well, that's beautiful, man. But you're in that situation where that's close to you. When I'm going to the Arclight, it's because I have no other options. You know, so everything around me is not showing a movie, which does happen. You know, there's movies that only premiere in Los Angeles, and that's when you head to the Arclight. You know, you end up meeting, like, the director and half the cast are in the screening with you for some reason. And then there's, like, a signing of the soundtrack at Amoeba next door. So it's a whole thing. But, I mean, it's always I love the Arclight experience.
There you go. I mean, I'm a big fan of treating myself. So
treat yourself. I like it. So, you know, our top 10, it's going to be a little different than the top 5 Christmas movies, obviously, in the sense that we can have the same movie. That'd be pretty intense if once one of us picked a movie, the other one was stuck. So we could definitely have the same movie in our lists, but we do not know each other's lists either. So I'm kind of excited to hear what the Madman has going on, and I'm sure he is excited to hear what I got going on.
I'm super excited. It's like,
thank you for saying that. I was like, he's been like, actually, I don't like fucking care,
like,
at all.
I've been like, hey, so like, what's like, should we talk about it? Should we surprise? And then you were like, surprise.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. I like the surprise.
I was like, but I want to know. I was like, you know, just give me something, man. Yeah. Throw me a bone.
Even before this, so it's gonna I was like, tell me what your tenth is. Just tell me your tenth. Like, it was just, I just want to, just give me a taste, man. Just give me a taste. I just want to know.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty stoked. All right. So let's hop right in here. My number 10 movie of 2020 is going to be Palm Springs. Directed by Max Barbicau, starring Andy Samberg, Kristen Milioti, and J.K. Simmons. This is a Hulu original. So Palm Springs, if you don't know about it, is this. It's the story of Niles, played by Andy Samberg, who we find stuck in a Groundhog Day-like scenario where he is reliving the day of his ex-girlfriend's wedding over and over. So when we catch up to him, he's like mid-time loop. We don't see it start. We just meet a guy who's already going through this day over and over. Through a twist of fate, Sarah, played by Kristen Milioti, who's the maid of honor at the wedding, ends up entering the time loop with Niles. And from there, we get a movie. Madman, did you see this one?
I did. Yeah, I did. Okay. I really enjoyed it.
That's great. Hey, so for is this on your list at all?
Oh, it definitely is.
Oh, it is? Okay, for sure. So we don't need to know when it is, but okay, good to for sure. Good to know that it's there. I wasn't sure. I really have no idea. I'm so excited. All right, so this is a solid rom-com with a little touch of sci-fi and a whole lot of charm from your leading actors. This is a movie that if you took another actor, another actress, or two actors, whatever, you know, if you took two other actors, put them in this role, it's not gonna play the same way this movie does. And it's really what I thought was interesting about it too is that, you know, we've had some time loop movies recently. I think the one that keeps popping in my head is like Happy Death Day, and then they did a sequel to that as well. And
they did do that.
Happy Death Day is someone who's, you know, they're reliving the day of their death over and over, so they're really going through it. In this movie, this guy has no troubles at all. He's just chilling. Like, it's so it's a really kind of funny story. Yeah, he's just hanging out, having a good time, living life. My sales pitch for this is it's super easy to watch. It's only an hour and a half long. The premise might be played out, but the leads are so good. Andy Samberg is so charming. Kristen Bellotti with him, super charming. And J.K. Simmons as Roy is just a solid little side character who just is like the cherry on top of a sundae that is just a great treat. And this is also one of the first lockdown movies that I was like excited about. You know, for my money, there was Tiger King, and then Hulu started advertising like, oh, we got this movie Palm Springs coming out, this and that. And so I was kind of excited, like it released on a Friday. I was like, oh, let me watch this new movie that came out on Hulu. Ooh, no theaters. I thought it was a great movie. I had a great time with it. Happy to have it. Number 10 on the list.
For my number 10, mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and I don't know if it's because I just saw it, you know, but it's just so fresh in my head. And I'm going to have to go with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Ma Rainey.
I did not plan it was going to be in the bottom of my list, but don't be discouraged. It is a good movie.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But if you listen to episode 7, we talked about it in great detail. It's pretty much Ma Rainey and her band recording a song, and it's hot. And it's 1927 Chicago, and she can definitely drink a Coke because it's definitely hot. It was just so fresh in my mind. Chadwick Boseman's swan song, you know, he is no longer with us, but what a heck of a performance.
Oh, yeah.
On his performance alone, you know, it really spoke to me, you know, especially, you know, just some of the stuff that he talks about in that movie. I'm not going to spoil much, you know, because you guys should see it. It's still fresh. It came out in December. I'm a believer of freaking Coleman Domingo because he's in it. I had no idea, you know, like how this guy just like ended up coming in my movies and TV shows and just blowing out the park, but he did a solid job. Viola Davis has Ma Rainey as well. You know, she killed it. A lot of good stuff. Like I said, episode 7, we talked about it in great detail. That's number 10 on my list. It is on Netflix. So if you have your Netflix subscription, check it out and have some fun.
There you go. And that is also on my list. I'm surprised. I was thinking that was going to be higher on your list. So I'm excited to hear 9-1 for sure, because I'm surprised that's number 10. So let's see. Coming in hot at number 9 for me is Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always, which is a mouthful of a title. It's written and directed by Eliza Hittman. She did one other film that I don't know anything about, but because of this movie, I am going to seek it out and look into it. Actors are Sidney Flanagan and Talia Ryder. And I think the most notable thing about those two is that you probably have not heard their names unless you maybe went to school with them, because they are unknowns. They haven't really acted at all. This is the big screen debut for both of them. You can watch this movie on HBO Max. So Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always is the story of Autumn, who travels to New York with her friend Skylar to get an abortion. Autumn lives in Pennsylvania, and although abortion is legal, anyone under 18 needs parental consent, and she does not want to get parental consent from her parentals. I would say most of my top 10 movies are not going to be slow burns. I think that I mean, I talk about all the time that movies cannot be boring. And now this movie is not boring. But if you're not paying attention, you might think it's boring. So I just want to throw that warning out there, because it's not a snappy movie by any stretch of the imagination.
It's definitely not a snappy movie, I'll tell you that. It's not.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be. This movie is exactly what I think it should be. It's not easy to watch, but I think it deserves to be seen, and I think it deserves to be recognized for how powerful it is. So this really falls into, this is 100% a teenage drama. But not like, you know, the cheesy CW kind of teenage dramas. Like, it feels very real. This deals with the, you know, teenage pregnancy. But not, you know, you think teenage pregnancy movies, maybe you're thinking Juno. This is nothing like Juno. It's complete polar opposite. There were certain things that were kind of, it bugs me. And we even texted about it a little bit, where you were like, oh, this guy she's talking to, he's such a creep. And I was like, all the men in this movie are creeps. Like, every weirdos, male, like, in the movie is, yeah, a dirtbag.
The dude on the train.
Weird
touching
guy.
Himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was another train. Yeah, that guy was, disgusting. So, he just has his hand in his pants. It's like, hey, man, that's not that's okay. You know, so I really had to, like, kind of shift even mid movie. I was like, okay, like, this is not your experience. This is her experience. So I'm sitting there like, not every guy is that disgusting, you know, whereas I don't know her life, and clearly she's going through some stuff, you know, as you'll see as the movie goes on. I think it's really important just to note, when you're watching this movie, it's not about your experiences. It's about their experiences. And, you know, hopefully you can't relate to it, because it's kind of a dark movie as it goes on, and just as some of the things that happen. But I think the fact that there's so little dialogue almost makes the movie feel more real. And it just every moment really hits. So my sales pitch for this is, you're going to feel something regardless, you know. And although this is a movie about abortion, it's not heavy-handed. It doesn't feel like, you know, veiled propaganda. It definitely seems like it does lean a certain way, but this is not teaching you anything. It's not preaching to you. It's just a story, and that's it. And I would say there's probably three scenes in this movie that are some of the best scenes I've seen all year. Like I are just in a long time. There's three scenes in this movie that intensely affected me. And they're just so powerful, especially coming from, you know, a relatively new writer director and people that have never acted before. It's just, I don't know. It's definitely worth watching. So it's not an easy watch, but it's good. It's also not like in your face hard, but it is hard to watch. So never, rarely, sometimes, always, HBO Max, check it out.
For my number ninth spot, I have Underwater.
Okay.
Got a little Kristen Stewart out there, right. You know what I'm saying? Director William Eubank. I hope I'm sure that's how you say that name.
Maybe.
And so it's pretty much Kristen Stewart. She is part of like a crew of oceanic researchers. And they're working like underwater. You're like a deep sea, you know, like.
Okay.
Working with like a deep sea drill like company, and I don't know what they're drilling for. I mean, you find out, but you know, but she's part of that squad, and a mysterious earthquake happens like right from the get go. Freaking earthquake hits, and it kind of turns into like this kind of survival type movie, you know. And then stuff gets a little wonky, you know. Mysterious things happened, and It's a lot like Alien. It's a lot like Alien.
Like an underwater alien.
And the director, think of an underwater alien, and think of Kristen Stewart's character as Ripley, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's pretty much it. You know, like, and so, you know, people start dying one by one, you know, because no one's going to live forever in this, you know, they're all underwater too, and, you know, creatures are attacking them. I'm not going to spoil it for you. There's like a mythical creature that, you know, is in the movie. And,
which, I mean, you know, probably guess.
I mean, it's like the Cthulhu character. So this is mythical creature that's like always in like Lovecraft like stories. And it's just like this crazy looking face is pretty much terrorizing this freaking squad. And I enjoyed it. So this one came out in movie theaters. It was in movie theaters.
It's like a February,
I didn't see it. I didn't see it in the movie theaters. Yeah, it wasn't until like later where I found out it was on Amazon Prime. Checked it out like on a whim. Yeah. You know, this was like maybe like 2 months ago. Checked it out and I enjoyed it. I had a great time with it. TJ Miller character is like us. And then I realized like TJ Miller is just TJ Miller in his like every movie. Like he's just like, he just plays himself. Yeah. You know? So it was good. John Gallagher, which you remember him from 10 Clover Lane, right? Ooh. Is that
10 Cloverfield Lane? Which he's okay.
Yeah, he's like the other guy that's okay, like there. Yeah.
Not John Goodman.
And he gets murked. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like three people in the movie. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's in it, which was kind of refreshing to see too. And then Vincent Castle. So Vincent Castle, he was in Black Swan. Do you remember Black Swan?
Yeah. I mean, certain
he was
parts,
like the one. Certain he was part. The dude that was running that whole thing.
Okay.
The teacher. But yeah, I was like, oh, dude, it's that guy. That guy, like, he's an actor. Yeah, I thought he was just that weird guy. But no, I enjoyed myself. My sales pitch is if you like Alien and you're ordering some pizza, you got some beers, you know, hanging out with some friends or your girlfriend or your mom or like whatever, you're gonna have a good time. You guys are gonna enjoy it. You guys are gonna watch it and be like, whoa, that's nuts, you know. And you know, I was like playing those fun games, like, oh, well, who's gonna last? Who's gonna be the last two or the last three or like the last person to survive? So
yeah,
Have some fun, order some pizza, check out the movie, Amazon Prime. Check
it out. All right. So hopping into number eight for me, we're going The King of Staten Island, directed by Judd Apatow, starring Pete Davidson, Marissa Tomei, and Bill Burr. This is one of those that it's available video on demand only. It's $14.99 currently. So when it came out, it was $19.99. And I think that's just to rent. Maybe it's to buy it. But either way, it is a little pricier than some of these other ones. But I definitely think it's worth looking into. King of Staten Island is the story of Scott, played by Pete Davidson, who's stuck in adolescence since his dad, who was a firefighter, passed away. You know, the story, you know, kind of goes on, and at one point he ends up tattooing a minor. That kid's dad is pissed, goes to confront Scott, and it happens to be Ray, played by Bill Burr. When Ray goes there, he meets Marissa Tomei, who is Scott's mother, Margie, and they end up starting a relationship, much to the chagrin of P. Davidson's Scott character, mainly because Ray, played by Bill Burr, is a firefighter. This is a Judd Apatow movie. So you already have preconceived notions, and I understand that. You know, he made 40-year-old virgin, Knocked Up. Those are two of my favorite comedies ever. This definitely falls more on the funny people, This Is Us side of Judd Apatow movies, which seems to be what he's leaning towards more later in life. It is a dramedy that does not shy away from the drama aspect. Another thing that's important to note is that Pete Davidson actually co-wrote the movie with Judd Apatow. So although it is not a autobiography necessarily, it is close, because if you guys know, which I feel like most people do, Pete Davidson's dad was a firefighter. He did die in 9/11. This is really near and dear to his heart, very therapeutic, like a la, you know, when you think Shia LaBeouf, Honey Boy, things like that. Like these are movies that are very personal to him. And so when you're watching it without that knowledge, you might kind of forget that aspect of it. But I think it's important to note, and it kind of adds a little bit to the movie. It is a little bit over 2 hours, so it almost overstays its welcome. But that's a Judd Apatow staple. Try and get him to make a movie under 2 hours. It's not going to happen. But this is probably the most flawed movie on my list. But I think part of that is just the realness of it coming from Pete Davidson. One of the coolest things about this is Pete Davidson, when he was working with Marissa Tomei, she had a scene where she had to cry. And he was like making jokes with her. And she was like, you can't joke around me right now. Like, I have to go act in the scene. Like, I have to cry. Like, don't try and make me laugh. And she kind of got upset. And he was like, he's like, you guys are taking this movie about my life more seriously than I am. And it made me laugh, because that really, I feel like, puts the movie into perspective almost. Because it is kind of all over the place. It is kind of goofy and weird spots. It doesn't settle exactly the way you want it to. But I think overall the ride is totally worth taking. So my sales pitch here is it's classic Apatow. You know, it's got the heart through R-rated lips. You know, there's Bill Burr is great in the movie. I would argue that Bill Burr comes in probably 30 minutes into the movie. in my opinion, that's when the movie starts. You know, that's when it really gets going. Davidson plays himself pretty much, but it's entertaining. And we talk about Tom Cruise all the time as being someone who is ageless and who never looks any older. We need to add Marissa Tomei to that list because she looks great in this movie. Check out King of Staten Island.
That one's a solid film. And just like knowing that it's like kind of his passion project, you know,
yeah,
I think it's huge because it's, you know, he could have made a goofy stoner movie, you know,
There was some parts that it was,
but it wasn't like completely like, oh yeah, it's like, we're not going to take him seriously, you know?
Yeah. And it's not to be confused with the Big Time Adolescence, which is a Hulu movie with Pete Davidson that came out also this year. It almost seems that like it's featuring the exact same character. So it's kind of surreal to watch them. You could probably watch Big Time Adolescence first and then watch King of Staten Island right after. And it might even feel like two episodes of a TV show just with different directors. It's the craziest thing.
But the important thing is that King of Staten Island had heart. You know, there was a lot of heart in that one. And Big Time Adolescence, there wasn't. Number eight, I have The Five Bloods, director Spike Lee. You know what I'm saying? The Five Bloods, also another movie that came out on Netflix. And pretty much the plot here is four African-American vets, they battle the forces of man and nature when they return to Vietnam, seeking the remains of their fallen squad leader and the gold fortune he helped them hide.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound like a freaking movie right there, dude?
Hell yeah.
It's a lot of like bromanship. It's a lot of friends hanging out, gooning out together. You know, there's a good scene where, you know, it's these four friends. They were like vets, you know, like they're vets now, but they were they're in the war together. When they're all linking up, reminding me of that movie like Girls Trip, right?
Okay.
They're all kind of meet up and they're like drinking and shit. You know, like they're like drinking, they're like dancing, they're having a good time. But like the main dude is Delroy Lindo. Hopefully I said his name correctly. He plays his dude named Paul, and from the whole group, like he's kind of the one that's a little bit too hard headed. You know, he's also going through like PTSD, you know?
Yeah.
So there's certain things that he like trips out, and like people get up in his face. He's like, "Yo, back off! Like, back off!" You know, and for some reason, I resonated with him so much. But I think he could win an Oscar. I think his performance was so good in that film that it just caught my eye. I'm not a big like Spike Lee fan. Like I've never seen all of his movies like recently. I maybe did a long time ago, you know, when I didn't really care about movies that much, you know, but I haven't seen many of his films. But I knew this one was coming out on Netflix, and it's, you know, I'm telling you, it's 2020. These movies are coming out. I checked it out. When you're talking about long, you know, like you were stressed out about King of Staten Island being long. This one was long. It was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It was like, there was a moment where it was about to end, and I was like, oh, what a nice ending, you know? And then there was a whole another hour left, and I was like, oh, okay, this is something's going to happen. Yeah. So, check it out. I think if you want to imagine how it's going to be like when you're old and, you know, you link up with your friends again, you know, and you want to kind of just, you know, peek into the future, check out this movie, you know, have fun with it. But also appreciate Chadwick Boseman. He's in it. He's the guy. He's the one that he was the fallen squad leader. He was the one that hit the gold, and he has a cool name. His name is Stormin' Norman. You know what I'm saying?
That's badass.
That sounds like a freaking squad leader right there. So there's a lot of back and forth, but even the back and forth, like the past scenes, it's the same people. Like, it's not like they recast it like younger people. Like, it's all the same four dudes. Like, so they're doing these past scenes, and they're like how they are now. You know, which I thought was cool because it's a. There's a lot of things with like PTSD and with like people that have been in the war where like their memory is kind of stressed out and they kind of picture themselves now back then, and that's why they're tripping out, because they're like reliving what was happening to them. Yeah. So I thought that was a nice little director thing that, like I was happy that they kept the old guys, you know, as themselves and not like recast like all these younger guys. Yeah, Chadwick Boseman's the only one that's like young. but yeah, fun movie, Netflix. Don't watch it late at night, you'll fall asleep. Watch it early in the day. That's not to say it's a bad movie. It's just, you know,
it's long, past
those 2 hours, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard. But no, it is a great movie. You're going to enjoy it.
So now we're hopping into number 7. I got The Way Back, directed by Gavin O'Connor, who has directed some other sports movies like Miracle and, what's the other one? Warrior?
Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Warrior, there we go. And stars Ben Affleck and Al Madrigal, who I really liked in this movie. And you can watch this on HBO Max, previously in theaters, though, which is very exciting. This is a story of former high school basketball phenom Jack, played by Ben Affleck, who is now just a small-town alcoholic. He gets the opportunity to coach basketball for his old Catholic school. Jack teams up with assistant coach Dan, who's played by Al Madrigal, to try and turn the team and his life around. This sounds like a movie you've seen 1,000 times before, and in a lot of ways, it does hit those notes, but only to a point. And it's definitely nowhere near as formulaic as you would expect from the synopsis. The movie definitely takes its own liberties, and it goes its own way at a certain point, and it makes the ride worthwhile. When this came out, I was just so excited to get like what I felt like was a sports movie in a world where we're just not getting sports movies anymore. And maybe I'm crazy. I did no research into this, but it's just a feeling. Like, when this movie came out, I felt like we'd been deprived of sports movies for a long time. So I see basketball. I see Ben Affleck, a director I respect. It's getting solid ratings on, like, Rotten Tomatoes. I think it was, like, mid-80s. And I was like, sweet, like, a basketball movie, finally. I go see the movie. It's not really a basketball movie. It's more a movie about Ben Affleck. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. But it's just something to know going into it. Because it's definitely focused on him and kind of his struggles, but he brings so much to this role because he is also a person that has dealt with alcoholism. So to play this alcoholic character, it rings true, like almost like too true. Like it's almost kind of like knowing that he's had problems with alcoholism, it's almost like scary watching it because of how genuine and real it feels. I mean, I just really think it helps the performance ring true in a way that not everyone can do. I mean, great actors can act no matter what, but I mean, damn, Ben Affleck kills it, you know, like the pitch here is Ben Affleck's performance is worth the price of admission. Watch for that. If you ever watch The Daily Show, shout out Al Madrigal. He's funny in this movie. He's a nice guy. He's charming. And he's just great to have around. And show some love to one of the last wide releases before COVID shut everything down. You know, this movie never really got a chance. And it's a good sports movie that was made recently, even though it's not really about sports. And it has a ballsy third act, I'll say. But overall, really enjoyed it. Definitely worth watching.
It's so good that you're, how you describe these movies are so detailed, because I'm going to just use that.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Cause I have one that we've already discussed, but I do have Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always as my number 7.
All right. I'm so happy you liked it. We didn't talk about it after you're done watching it. So I'm so happy it's on your list. I'm excited to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, it's high too. I was debating like even bringing it higher. But you bring up some really good points. Like it's definitely like a quiet movie, you know? But there's just so much emotion. It's uncomfortable talking about abortions. Like it just is.
Yeah.
You know? Because some people are pro-life, some people are pro-choice, you know, and once like and there's also like religion and it's an uncomfortable thing, you know. But sometimes kids are going through this, you know.
Yeah.
Homegirl is 17, you know, and she's going through this tough life choice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going along with the ride. You're just experiencing this with like through her, and it's uncomfortable. You know, it's a bummer because guys are creeps, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, shout out to her cousin, you know, in the movie that kind of backs her up. That's a big thing that I loved, because I feel like growing up, you have your like family members, or you have like that one person you kind of talk to. So this reminded me hanging out with like my cousin, you know, kind of going through something and my cousin just kind of backing me up or something, you know, knowing that I'm struggling and in pain, you know. But then it's like my cousin's like going to try to make me laugh or like, or just back me up or do, you know, like, and that's what happens. These girls go to freaking New York, you know, and try to get this abortion.
Yeah.
That scene where the title comes from, never, rarely, sometimes, always. That scene was probably the best scene I've seen like this whole year.
Yeah.
It like consumed me. I was like stressed out, anxiety, like wanting it to stop. And for this girl, you know, to have never acted before could have fooled me.
Yeah.
Could have fooled me because she acted the shit out of it, you know?
No. And the camera never leaves her face. Like it's just sitting there right on her. Like it doesn't cut. And it's heartbreaking.
And you're going through a tough time, you know? And people are helping you.
Yeah.
That lady is trying to help her, you know?
Yep.
And sometimes you just cannot take in that help. Like, you don't want to, you know, there was a opportunity where she could have stayed with someone or like, let me give you my phone number. Do you want me to go to the procedure with you? Like, here's what I'll do, you know? Yeah. And she was like, okay, sure. You know, like, but like not full in it, because when you're in need of help, you don't want to ask for help. You know, you don't want to like, you know, be like that vulnerable, you know, but it's like, okay, she didn't just have an accident and just, you know, had a baby. She's been abused since like 14, you know? And then, you know, if you're like, you're looking too into it, you know, like why is she going to extreme lengths to get this abortion? Just think about that, you know.
Yeah.
Watch the movie.
There's a lot left ambiguous, but there's also a lot of puzzle pieces that when you watch the movie, you know, you put stuff together and you come to your own conclusions, which they want you to do.
It's funny too, because I read something where they were like, I just can't believe they were carrying that luggage. They're kids, bro. Like they're kids. Like they probably, all they've known is when they go on a trip is to bring a big suitcase or bring a big thing, you know, because they don't know. They're figuring this out, you know, and the cousin is backing her up. Hey, well, all I know is we're going to just pack this. We're going to go there and we're going to do, you know, we're going to try to figure this out.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film. The movie that you were thinking about that director had directed, because you were like, oh, there's like one more. It's Beach Rats.
Okay.
And something about Beach Rats, I just want to watch it. Looks like she made that in 2017. The one before that was It Felt Like Love. I want to see what's up with this director. I've never even knew who this person was, who this movie was, until you had mentioned it, and I saw it in some lists. And I was okay. There's some, you know, something's going on here.
Yeah.
But it's such a great movie. I'm telling you, there's, you know, other movies on my list. This one probably could have gone higher, but I mean, it's my list. it's a great movie. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right. So number six here, something that I'm not sure that anyone who's listening has even heard of this movie, but number six for me is going to be The Kid Detective, directed by Evan Morgan. This is their first movie. It stars Adam Brody, Sarah Sutherland, and Sophie Nalisse. So this is actually not even available on demand right now, but it will be starting January 19th. This is another movie that came out in theaters, and this came out for a little while. Some theaters in like San Diego and Orange County reopened. This movie came out during that time. So there was like this weird month and a half where some movies came out, and I just happened to see this one. Loved it. So this is the story of Abe Applebaum, played by Adam Brody, who is a child detective. He solved cases for everyone in the town. So when Abe was at his peak, still a child, his assistant goes missing and he's never able to find her. This haunts him into his 30s when he finally meets Caroline, played by Sophie Nalisse, who wants Abe to solve her boyfriend's murder. So just, this is it's a wild story. And if you don't buy into it, you're not going to like it, because it's a weird movie from the get-go. It's dry as all hell. But like just the fact that Like, this kid, like, just the premise is funny to me. That there's this guy who is a child detective, and he's killing it. Like, everyone goes to him. The mayor's like, hey, something happened. He's like, I'll solve it. And he's just a kid. And then his receptionist, again, another kid, goes missing, and it haunts him to this day, where he's still a kid detective, even though he's an adult. He still has the same spot that he had before. It was formerly a treehouse, but it got burned down. And then the mayor gave him a spot at, like, City Hall, which he still holds in his 30s. And everyone hates him because they just like, oh, you can't solve cases. It's the craziest little world. And it's crazy because no one ever cracks a smile in this movie. It's played so serious the whole time. If you don't think you'd find that funny, stay away from this movie entirely, because it's a weird tone. But it actually gets interesting. And this girl's boyfriend, whose murder he's solving, they start looking into it. And it turns into like an actual mystery movie. And the last 20 minutes of the movie are wildly, wildly intense. And just super good. And I don't want to give anything away because it's a mystery movie. So I'm not going to. But I would seek this movie out if you're cool with dry humor. So my sales pitch is super dry. But it actually becomes an interesting case. And it almost feels like, you know, that person who, like, is sarcastic all the time and you can never tell if they're kidding or not? Like, it kind of feels like this movie is that person. It has that vibe. But if you just buy into it, I think it's laugh out loud funny. I enjoyed the movie the whole time, but I do think this is a love it or hate it. Like, if you watch a trailer and you're not feeling it, I would stay away. But if you have it in your heart to open up to it, The Kid Detective is worth the watch.
Cool. Well, I'm going to go with my number six pick here. I'm going to go with The Lodge. You guys heard me talk about it in my top five Christmas movies before Home Alone rightfully took its place. But it's so much of a good movie, I try to convince everyone it was a Christmas movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is a crazy time. And the synopsis here pretty much is a soon-to-be stepmom is snowed in with her fiance's two children at a remote holiday village. Just as relations begin to thaw between the trio, some strange and frightening events take place.
Ooh.
Ooh. But yeah, man, it's a great film. It's directed by like a duo. I don't know if we have any director duos anymore. But yeah, so this is director Veronica France. And Severine Fiala. And so it's a duo. These two people made this movie. It's got Riley Keough. I gotta take a freaking speech class or something.
It's like, well, yeah, I feel bad because I've seen memes where it's like, oh, like, so you can't say this person's name right, but everyone can say Timothée Chalamet correctly. And I'm like, damn. So part of me, just know we're not trying to be disrespectful. We're just truly ignorant. And the only reason I know I say Timothée Chalamet is because people keep yelling at me for knowing how to say it. I wouldn't have known before. So that's all I got to say about that. So
I appreciate that, man.
That's good intentions. I
mean. Jaden Martell. I'm going to just say everything like that's just how it is. And it's my own twang. So Jaden Martell's in it. His name is Aiden. And Riley's name is Grace. Okay. It is on Hulu now. I try to get everyone to watch this movie. When it first came out, I knew nothing about it. But one of my film friends was like, hey, we got to watch this movie. And I was like, all right, whatever. Okay. And then, like, I swear that day at work, someone was like, hey, have you seen The Lodge? I was like, nah. So, oh, you're going to like it. I was like, really? Like, why? What happens in it? I was like, I'm not going to say anything. And I was like, all right, whatever. You know, so then I watched it late. It was like a midnight screening of it. Yeah. Like, okay, let's see what's going on. Bam, you know, like just freaking had a funeral for a bird. And it was nuts, dude. But this movie, the way it just plays out, it's a trip. I loved everything about it. I want to talk about it so much more, but I know I talked about it a little bit in the Christmas episode. So in case you didn't get my hint about episode 7, you know, I'm going to just keep dropping hints to watch to listen to our past episodes.
There you go. Listen to them all.
It's really a good movie. It's a trip, man. I like you think you're crazy, you know. I want to spoil it, but I don't want to spoil it because I want someone to watch it and be like, hey, like you were right or you were wrong, you know, but it is a good movie. If you like kind of horror movies with like some culty religion stuff, then you're going to like it. You know, like it reminds you a lot of Hereditary. You know, if you liked Hereditary, yeah. I think you would like this movie a lot. The performances are great. And it's got that little kid from It, you know, the one that stutters.
Yeah.
And he's not stuttering in this movie.
He's taller.
Yeah, dude, what's up with him? I think he's going to grow up and be like a weird like guy.
Yeah, he's bound to. Someone put this kid in a romantic comedy quick before he kills like a bunch of cats or something.
Like a phone booth, like Netflix movie or something. Like get him doing some other stuff that's not horror. But yeah, great movie.
I like it. I would definitely recommend The Lodge as well. Did not make it into my top 10, but that's one of those that I really feel like could grow on me.
It's just, I love it, man. I love it.
It's a good flick for sure.
I'm trying to make it into a feel good movie.
Don't do that. It's a feel bad movie. It is a feel bad movie for sure. It's the end is so bad, dude. Yeah, it's a feel everything.
It's about, I mean, it's like fucked. It's like this movie is fucked. It's so bad. Dude. It's like
it's so bad.
I try not to curse on here, but like,
why?
Shit's fucked. Like it's just
yes, sir.
Crazy.
So on to number five for me, and I'm not going to talk too long about this because it's already been talked about, and we talked about it on a previous episode, but Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, number five for me. You guys know Viola Davis, Chadwick Boseman, Netflix movie. You got to watch it. I mean, you've heard us review it, give it high marks. Madman had it in his top 10. It's number five on my list. It's Chadwick Boseman's swan song, as you said. He acts the hell out of it, man. Kills it. He's such a conflicted, interesting character, and it's a day. It's like a slice of life type movie. It takes place over one day. It's short. It's like an hour and a half long. There's no reason not to watch this movie. It's just a bunch of acting powerhouses just flexing on you. It's like, you know, you just watch it, sit back, and enjoy it. Because it's incredible. That's all I'm going to say about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. What you got for number five?
Don't step on his shoes.
Yeah. Please don't step on his shoes.
So we've got top five now. This is where it starts getting a little juicy for me because I spent a lot of time composing this list. And this movie, like, just kind of snuck up the ranks. Like, it just kind of started climbing up because I loved it so much. And I'm so upset I didn't see it in the movie theaters because I knew it was in the movie theaters.
Oof.
And I should have watched it, but I just didn't have a timer. I didn't care about it. And then it wasn't until now. And then now it's like, what? It's freaking top five, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with The Invisible Man, directed by Leigh. Leigh Whannell, I believe.
All right.
He directed Insidious 3.
Ooh.
And, but
they're bad until they're good, right? They're bad until they're good.
Well, he screenwrote everything.
Okay.
Like all the other Insidious movies, works very closely with James Wan. The director of all those movies. And, and so I was like, okay, all right, well, there's an opportunity here, right? This is, someone that knows horror, right? Writes horror, is aware of horror. Am I going to get scared? I'm like, The Invisible Man. Okay. I know this is based on like a story or like a book. And I know that it's, you know, it's not scary. I'm like, I wouldn't be, it's okay. Invisible. What are you going to do? Kill me? Plot twist,
yeah.
You know? but it pretty much follows Cecilia, and she has an abusive ex, and she escapes. That's the first scene that you see, is her escaping her abusive ex. And there's no music. There's nothing. The only thing that you hear is like crashing sounds of the wave, and all that was on purpose, you know, because they want you to feel what she's feeling. Trapped, pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
But she escapes. You know, her ex kills himself. she's like, that's not true. Like, this something's going on here. Like, this is fake. And they're like, dude, no, we have his ashes. Like, this dude's like dead. She's like, no. Like, this is the type of stuff that he pulls. And they're like, okay, crazy lady. Like, this guy's dead, you know? Where you think this invisible person is hurting you, you're going to seem pretty crazy. You know, you're going to do that, you know? And her like, best friend, I think you like best friend, right? Aldis Hodges character, who is like crazy buff. I didn't realize how buff this dude was. Yeah. There's this scene where I was like, all right, bro, you don't have to flex like that. Like, we get it. You're a cop. Like,
yeah.
You're looking like a freaking, like the Rock right here, dude. So, I mean, shout out to him and his gains that he got, because he was like strong. but he's like trying to take care of her, trying to make sure she's all good. And stuff goes off the rails real quick, you know? It was scary. Like, I got scared, man. There was some scenes where I kind of jumped and I was like, damn, like, holy smokes. You know, like, what's happening here? And then the whole time I just kept thinking, you know, and I know I'm ranting here, but I'm like, I know I sound crazy. This is happening to me. I would have done the same thing she done. I would have probably had the same outcome as her, because yeah. No one's going to believe you. Like, no one will believe that, you know? But I mean, it was, man, for me, it was so good. I was like into it. And that's another movie that I kind of just threw on the whim. It's like, okay, I knew it came out in 2020. I'm not, you know, having big like thoughts about this movie. It yeah. blew me away. I thought it was great. It was suspenseful.
Yeah. I liked Invisible Man. I thought it was really good. So I definitely would put that as a watch. I didn't have it in my top 10. I almost feel like it probably should have been. And after hearing
you, it's got good scores.
Yeah. No, I don't know why. I think
that's why I was pissed, bro.
Good kills.
I don't blame you, because it wasn't even going to be in mine. And then I watched it and I was like, why did I not watch this in the movie theater? You know, this would have been so much fun. I would have enjoyed myself.
No, I mean, I watched it in IMAX. So I have no excuse, you know?
So those waves crashing, you must have.
I thought I was underwater, bro. I started swaying and stuff. I was like, "What's going on? I was like, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe." Vanessa was like, "Nice,
get me out of here."
Up. Yeah, like we're in a theater right now. It was crazy, and it was, you know, it was February. I think it came out February, and it was a 10 o'clock showing, 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, and the theater probably had like 70 people in it. It was insane. So shout out Invisible Man. Good times.
There you go.
Remember that, people? Okay. So my number four movie here, this is going to be Bad Education, directed by Corey Finley, who also directed Thoroughbreds, starring Hugh Jackman, Ray Romano, and Allison Janney. This is an HBO Max exclusive. So this is the true story of Frank Tassone and Pam Gluckin, who are the superintendent and co-superintendent at a New York City school that is on the up and up. Good schools means good housing market, means good community. So these people are just living it up. They're the best of the best. After some investigations, though, the school staff become suspects in the largest public school embezzlement scandal in U.S. history. I went into this movie blind. So even with this synopsis right now, anyone listening knows more about the movie than I did when I watched it. And I think it's interesting to note that it is a true story. This is about one of the, you know, the largest public school embezzlement of all time. One of the writers, Mike Bukowski, was a student at the school when it happened. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'm a huge Hugh Jackman fan. I think he's one of the most versatile actors. And this may be his best performance. He's that good in this movie. Him and Allison Janney should be up for Oscars without a doubt. It is, it's just so, there's not a weak link in the bunch with this cast. Ray Romano does his thing. Everyone does well. So, you know, my sales pitch for this movie is, you know, don't look too much into it, just because I didn't and I really enjoyed it. It's called Bad Education on HBO Max. It was so good, it hopped up to number four. The performances in this are incredible. I can't get over how well acted this is, because I just saw it on my computer screen. It just doesn't even feel like real. And that's kind of a trend of what went on this year because of the pandemic. But Hugh Jackman has some electric scenes. Allison Janney has some electric scenes. And the best part about this movie is that when the movie's done, you can sit there with whoever you watched it with and then go online and figure out how true it was, what was the true story, what parts did they embellish for the movie, what really happened. And that's a whole extra 30 minutes of entertainment. So there you go.
That's sick.
Bad education.
No, but you're absolutely correct. Like Hugh Jackman, he's a versatile actor. Like he can do a lot. And it's just so nice seeing him in movies. Allison Janney is someone that should get a lot of credit because she, just because I know her in her movies, she's a great actress. Like she can freaking act, you know? And just seeing or hearing about how her and Hugh Jackman are in it, just freaking acting off their ass. Like I just think it's something I should definitely check out.
Yep.
I didn't know that was based on like for real.
No, I honestly going into it thought it was like a dark comedy. They have the show Vice Principals on HBO, and I was assuming it was just going to be like an R-rated dark comedy about bad teachers. It sounds like a comedy, so it was not at all.
Well, I mean, for my number four, I'm going to go with The Way Back. Dubs already talked about a little bit. But Gavin O'Connor, I did not know that he directed this movie until after I watched
it. Okay.
And it was surprising for me because I thought The Way Back was going to be like a cheesy kind of like Christian movie. Yeah. And so I don't want to see it as like Ben Affleck, like whatever, you know, like he's a basketball coach, but you know, like it just seemed like it was going to be like a cheesy, like Christian movie, like, you know, someone that I didn't know. But while watching it, I was like, man, this reminds me so much of Warrior, you know?
Yeah.
And I love Warrior. You know, that's like one of my favorite movies. If you haven't seen Warrior, check it out. Tom Hardy, Joe Egerton, great movie. Two brothers fighting. It's got Nick Nolte too, the little old timer. But I was like, bro, I'm just getting this feeling of like Warrior. Checked it out. It was Gavin O'Connor. And I was like, dude, this guy just knows how to do like sports drama. Cause it's like a drama. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like even like a basketball movie, which I know you like said, but it's, you know, it's a dude struggling with alcoholism.
Yep.
He does this thing where I'm like, oh, this guy is a drunk for show. Like, because I've never seen this before. He goes into his fridge, grabs a beer, puts it in the freezer and grabs the beer in the freezer.
Yeah,
and then he like hits the beer and he opens it. He does that like 30 times, I guess, you know, contemplating whether he should take this job, you know. That's a power move, bro. I've never, like, who does that? Like, grab a beer, put it up top, and then grab the one up top and drink the cold one, and then just do that repetition. It was like, he was like a crazy man. I was like, how is this guy paying for his rent? Like, this guy is a freaking drunk. Like, I've never seen this, dude. I didn't know that the other actor that's in there, freaking Al Madrigal. I didn't know he was a comedian. I didn't know he was a Latino comic.
I mean, he's great. You know, look at those old Daily Show correspondent videos. That really wasn't your thing, though, huh? I just know that from being your friend, that you're not like a huge fan of the political.
I'm not a huge fan of like John Stewart, right?
Yeah.
Is that the Daily Show that you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
But yeah, I mean, it's for me, it was a great movie. It's my number four. I loved it so much. You know, this guy's struggling with alcoholism, and you know, there's a lot of other things in the movie that happens that, you know, it's kind of hits hard, you know, just watching him go through these struggles and, you know, just watching him just, you know, be this person. You know, this movie was almost called The Has-Been, which I think is brutal, you know, and because this was someone that was a guy back in the day. He was a star. He was a basketball dude. And now he's not, and he has to face that, you know. And I think a big reason why he was even offered this job is not because of who he was in the past, is because who he is now and how he needs to change, you know, and it's kind of hard to accept that. But beautiful movie, solid movie. You know it's solid when it's on Dubs' list, so let's go.
All right. Let's see. Number three here for me, we got Soul, directed by Pete Docter, Kent Powers. Pete Docter, who also directed Up and Inside Out, and I mean, for other things, I'm sure. And then he's also been a writer in pretty much every Pixar movie that's ever come out, starring Jamie Foxx and Tina Fey. You can watch this on Disney Plus. So, as you guys probably know, this is the story of Joe, played by Jamie Foxx, who is an uninspired jazz musician about to have a huge gig until he suddenly dies, or almost dies, in a walking accident. Joe ends up in the Great Before, which is where souls are created, and he meets 22 as they attempt to get Joe back to Earth. So again, much like Ma Rainey, I don't want to spend too much time talking about this movie because we literally put out an episode about it like a week or two ago. So please listen to our episode if you haven't. We'll go more in depth with that. Well, I mean, I'm sure you have this on your list too at some point. Maybe you don't. But if you do, you know, you can talk about it as long as you'd like. We have an episode on it. So I'll just say, there's a lot of layers to this movie. It is terrific. I feel like a lot of people have been talking about this movie and comparing it to like, oh, well, it's not as, I didn't cry as much as I cried in this Pixar movie, or I didn't do this. Pixar movies have been so excellent for so long that we're now like nitpicking how like levels of excellence. So this movie is incredible. It's an incredible movie. It's because it might not be as excellent as like Inside Out was to you, it is still an excellent film. So that's what I feel like just the narrative that's kind of surrounded the discussion of this movie is like, well, it's no Inside Out, but I still enjoyed it. It's like, they're both so good. Just shout out Soul. It's so good. And for me personally, this one hit me more real than Inside Out did for me. So that's, you know, of course, that's all just, it's going to change from person to person. But so my pitch, it's Pixar magic. Of course, they did it again. Shocker. It tackles very complex issues in a way that I feel like it's easy for adults to understand. And it might give kids like a pathway to understanding in that world. And then I've never been to New York, but there's been a lot of dialogue about how New York is a character of its own in this movie and how well they've recreated it. And people that have lived in New York have had nothing but good things to say about this movie. And specifically the way New York is represented. The music in it is beautiful. Watch Soul.
For number three, I have Palm Springs. I'm not going to talk about it too much because I think you started off talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was like one of my favorite movies. I think it was one of my favorite movies this year because it was at a time where I don't think I needed it, you know?
Yeah.
But I did because we were going through COVID, you know, like we were going through quarantine and it was out. I watched it and I was like, this is great. I was like, this is awesome. I didn't even know what it was going to be about.
Yeah.
But the whole time loop, like Groundhog Day, like, I bought into it real quick. J.K. Mm-hmm. Simmons, I think they just knew, like, you know what? If we add J.K. Simmons into this movie, the man's going to love it. And they were absolutely correct because I loved everything about it. And it's interesting, like, you know, because when you're a kid, I don't know if you had this thought. You're like, what if, like, every day it's just, like, the same? Like, how would that be, you know? And it was just cool to see this through like Andy Samberg because he's a goof, you know. And it's funny, but that actress that's in it, Kristen Milioti, she's good, man. She's a great actress. Yeah. I remember her from Black Mirror. You know, she was in my favorite episode in Black Mirror, USS Callister. I think that's the title of it. Uh-huh. And I was like, why haven't I seen her much? You know, and I know she was like in a TV show or like, or something like that, but yeah. I never saw it. And I was like, she should be in more stuff. And she was in this one. I was like, this is great. I was like, this is awesome. None of this I prepared for. I had no idea this movie was even, was a thing, you know? But I loved it. Great movie, a lot of fun. I felt like Andy Samberg in that little pool donut thing, just chilling, you know, drinking the beer, watching the movie, having fun, and then you know, it just all plays out. Watch it, have some fun, enjoy yourself. It is a great flick for me. Top three, I think, for this year especially. It just came at a time where I didn't think I needed it, but maybe I did.
So number two for me is going to be The Trial of the Chicago 7. So this is written and directed by Aaron Sorkin. If you don't know who that is, maybe you've heard of, I don't know, The Social Network, Molly's Game, Moneyball, even going all the way back to A Few Good Men. So You Can't Handle the Truth. If you don't know that, check that out. That's a good hit. Starring Eddie Redmayne, Sacha Baron Cohen, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And you can watch this on Netflix, Netflix original. So this is a story of seven people on trial stemming from various charges surrounding the uprising at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, Illinois. This is Aaron Sorkin. That's all you need to know. This is a writer director, specifically a writer who you should have a lot of respect for. If you don't have a lot of respect for it, you should at least know what you're getting going into it. You know, I mean, movies like The Social Network, Molly's Game, Moneyball, they have really, really quick dialogue. And so it just goes fast. And the movies are paced so quickly. All the characters seem like smart. And all the conversations just have this really like surreal, like machine gun fire aspect to them. It's very Aaron Sorkin. And you'll know it when you watch it, especially if you've seen the other thing. So dialogue is what you're here for, and it's what you get. Sorkin just puts these movies together so well. One of the things, it's number two on my list because I feel like it's just so good. It almost feels like too easy because I really think, although none of the actors did a bad job, it's just the dialogue and the pacing and the story is done so well that so many actors could have been put in these positions and they would have also been successful. Again, not to take away from what they did, but I really think this is Aaron Sorkin's movie. He does well with it. That's really the pitch. Aaron Sorkin wrote and directed this movie. If you liked other Aaron Sorkin movies, you're probably going to like this one too. Never mind the fact that it deals with, you know, police, you know, overstepping their bounds, to say the very least, you know, during peaceful protests, protesting the Vietnam War at the time, you know, and they made this movie, you know, a couple years ago. Flash forward to it being released now, it becomes, you know, more timely than ever as we're dealing with police brutality stuff currently. So, you know, that's not, it definitely wasn't something the movie, I think, was trying, like, it's almost like when you watch it right now, you're like, oh, this is a response to what's going on. Like, no, they made it before, but it's interesting how, even though this movie about a true story in 1968 is still relevant today, it just shows that, you know, there's a lot of work to do. Not that we're going to get all political on our little movie podcast here, but Trial of the Chicago 7, definite recommend.
For my number two, I have Soul, because Ooh. We haven't talked about it enough. it's so good, man. It's so good. I'm pretty much going to say nothing about it because, I think when you talk about it, you were like, I want to say nothing. And then it's like, we already did the whole review and I really want to say nothing about it too, because it's a great movie, man. Like people that are watching this movie, not crying, you have no soul, you know?
Yeah.
Watch the movie. Hopefully you gain your soul. Hopefully you figure it out. But I will say this, the lighting in the movie is something that people talk about too. Okay. How like the lighting is just like the way that it bounces off on the characters and New York. Like it looks good. It has that feel. Good music. Good music. Go. Great film. Great film. Cry. Bring some tissue papers.
There you go. All right. And then so that brings us to the number one. And I think we must have the same number one then, because
what's your, do you want to do like a 3-2-1? Well, and then we'll just dive into it.
Yeah, you do 3-2. Yeah, you say the 3-2-1.
Okay. 3-2-1.
Sound of Metal.
Sound of Metal.
Oh, but man, we fucked up. But let's do it again. It's all right. Sound of Metal. Yeah, number one. Well, here, I'll give the quick rundown. Directed by Darius Marder, first time director, but he did work as a writer on Place Beyond the Pines. Which is actually how he fell into this project anyway. Actors, Riz Ahmed, Olivia Cooke, Paul Racy. You can watch this on Amazon Prime. This is an Amazon Prime original. Yeah. This is the story of recovering addict Ruben, played by Riz Ahmed, who is in a metal band with his girlfriend Lou, played by Olivia Cooke. Out of nowhere, Ruben loses his hearing and goes to a hearing type kind of rehab, guided by Joe, played by Paul Racy. This is a powerhouse drama. This is such a good movie. I did not think you'd have it as number one. I thought it'd be like number two or three. So I you know, but I'm glad you have it as number one. So solid. Well, because Soul, I think Soul, you ended up saying that was like when we watched Soul, I think you said that was your favorite movie of the year so far.
I rated Soul higher than Sound of Metal. I read Soul 96, Sound of Metal 95.
Yeah.
But when I'm doing this list, I was just looking at what spoke to me the most. This movie spoke to me the most.
Okay.
I'm going to just say some a little real quick. You know, this movie is a man accepting, you know, that he's lost his hearing. Like, he just can't hear. And he doesn't want, he's so stubborn. Like, he's just so stubborn, you know? And I think it's like a lot of us, like, you just like, you're like, no, you know, like, his no tattooed on his freaking hand, you know, like, just him as the person that he is and the person he becomes, that's growth. And in life, we have that growth,
yeah.
You know? And I think that's beautiful. I love that beauty of that, like, of just growing, you know, being a different person. And now you're something else. It's an emotional ride.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good.
That's in my pitch here. I wrote, takes you through an emotional roller coaster, powerful filmmaking. Riz Ahmed is incredible. All caps.
Yes.
It's just surreal what he does here. Olivia Cooke and Paul Raci, also incredible. Not in all caps, but still really good. I mean, Riz Ahmed learned to play the drums and ASL for this role. Yep. It's just, this is again another one that we've done a podcast on fairly recently. So please go ahead and listen to that if you haven't already. But I mean, thank you for hopping into our top 10 and checking that out, though. We'll take that too. Listen to whatever you want, really, to be honest. But Sound of Metal, it's going to make you feel, it's about, it's flawed characters just trying to like feel real. You know, they want to feel complete. They want their world to make sense. Mm-hmm. What's more relatable than that? Like, what's, you know, obviously you're not going through what the character's going through, but damn, if it doesn't hit you, because you know, you're there.
Yes. That's what I'm saying with like never, rarely, sometimes, always. I got the same feeling as I did with like Sound of Metal. Obviously Sound of Metal more, but it like the same thing. It's kind of a quiet film. And, you know, she was obviously a lot more accepting with what was going on. He wasn't, you know, and for some reason that just kind of resonated with me a lot more. And for that director and that sound mixing editing team, they really put you into his shoes and they make you just experience this. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. There's that moment where there's some acceptance, but then, you know, still not like, It's just such a great movie. I enjoyed it so much. I've seen that movie like 5 times already. I showed it to my mom. She was like, "Oh, like," and it just ends like that. And I was like, "Well, you know, it's a whole story, yeah." And it's just, for me, it was like a huge surprise. I was so impressed and happy, and that's why when I was going through my list, you know, it was just number one. Like Soul hit me hard too. But this one hit me harder, and I love so much about it. I'm so upset. There's no ArcLight open with the Q&A with the director, so I could ask a question or two, you know, because I would have enjoyed that so much. I'm excited when, you know, I'm gonna get the hardcover copy and, you know, listen to the freaking commentary from the director or like even Riz Ahmed, you know.
Yeah.
I think it would be good, or even just like Paul Raci. I want to see if he's in something, because his parents, like they can't hear. And so that's why he's so into this community, you know, and he can, but some of the emotions that he brings out in this movie, like some of the stuff that he does, this is a very important scene too. There's so many feelings, so much stuff in that, and not a lot of said, you know, it's like very few words.
Yep.
Damn. That's a freaking movie, dude.
It's a movie.
Sound of Metal. Let's freaking go. Yeah. Let's freaking go, Dubs.
There we go. Say number one. I like it. I'm excited. So, I mean, I'd say, you know, we talked about New Year's resolutions a little bit last podcast. My New Year's resolution in regards to this podcast is to watch as many movies as I can when they come out, because we're gonna watch the big ones, but so many indies drop, and you know, it's just kind of here or there. And so 2021 is gonna be the year of movies for me. I'm watching everything. My 2021 list is gonna be so comprehensive. It's gonna be so, I'm gonna have everything there, because I'll have seen everything. I'll know it all.
I'm so dumb, bro. I thought you were gonna say it. Like, my New Year's resolution, like, learn sign language, because this movie just freaking. I was like, hey, bro, like, like, that's intense, dog.
It feels,
because you were like, he learned, or like, play the drums. I was like, yeah. he's gonna do one of the two here. Yeah, like, he's gonna
Hey, man, it's cool as hell that he did that. But remember, he also got paid to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from the guy, but hey, if I go into work and they're like, you need to know ASL in the next month, I'll figure it out, brother. But yeah. you gotta pay. Well, you don't have to pay me. It sounds insensitive. All I'm saying is that, look, man, I got my own dreams right now, bro. I'm just trying to watch the movies and shit, you know?
No, I love it, bro. I just, so next year when we do this, we don't have to rush and watch like freaking 3 days of just movie binging. Yeah.
Movie binging.
Just straight up just movies. Nonstop, you know, that's dope, man. That's a beautiful, see, because my New Year's resolution is having a better peace of mind.
Okay, for sure.
And that's like yoga.
Like, I like that.
You got to put me on game, bro. You got to tell me when these movies are coming out.
And I'm going to be watching them all. Got to watch them all, Pokemon, but the movie thing. Thank you guys for getting through our top 10. We watched a ton of movies just to prepare for this, along with all the 10 that we, talked about right now. We might have done those movies a disservice. Like, I probably watched in the last day, I mean, the last couple of days, like, 10 to 15 movies. I can't even put a number on it. I mean, I could if I look back. But, I think, and I was watching them all, like, are you a top 10 type movie? So we might have been a little mean to these movies we saw recently. And if we would have seen them with fresh eyes, maybe we felt differently. But, we'll never know. So until next time, this is our top 10 list. Thank you for riding with us. I'm Dubs.
I'm the Madman Moan. And brother.
And we'll catch you next time. Peace out.